Happy Thanksgiving before Thanksgiving Day. That's kind of a good thing. We're not celebrating Thanksgiving Day. We're celebrating the fact that we're reminded to give thanks. How's that? We're reminded that it's a good thing. It's the most wonderful thing to give thanks, to have thankful hearts that come out and express from our mouths thanksgiving, but also in our actions thanksgiving. It's a blessed thing. And I just want to focus on a couple things. I want to try to keep it clearly that this is a privilege that we have in the month of November to all of a sudden realize that there's a Thanksgiving Day that's set aside by the government, and it's got a history, and it talks about people who wanted to give thanks to God, and they kind of got this thing going, and someone caught on with it, and maybe no one's really knowing what they're giving thanks to or who for, and yet God's people do. And that's a great reminder for us to have. So anyway, I'm thankful for November when it comes around. And then when I think of the Christmas season and the Advent season, it helps me to start with a Thanksgiving mindset rather than with another kind of a mindset, which I often get into. What's this going to happen this year? What's this going to all be about? I mean, and yet God, you know, that's a gift to have a day of that we're focusing, and a month that we're focusing on the fact that God entered us, entered our world, and became one with us. Anyway. When I think of Thanksgiving and I think of the scriptures, I think of Psalm 100. Some of you may know it. You got Bibles in front of you, and I'm going to sing Psalm 100 in a tune that was passed on to us somewhere down the line. I can't remember the people. I don't know if it's ever in books or anything, but I remember some group passed on this tune for Psalm 100. And I've done it before, tried to do it before. I never do it real well. But if you got the books in front of you and you want to join in any way, feel free to do so. But I'm going to try to sing this again. Goes like this. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. There you go. Praise God. So remember Psalm 100. It's a beautiful psalm, a beautiful expression of who we are and God delighting in his people giving thanks. But I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians. Because we have a Bible reading schedule, and there's some of those around that up here if you want some, we make available for people who want them. I've written them up for several years, quite a long time now. And the last couple of months, we've had twice where 1 Corinthians somehow becomes the Bible readings. So I've decided there's two places that I want to focus on in the book of 1 Corinthians. The first section is a section right after Paul introduces himself and what he's doing. And then there's a section, chapter 1, verses 4 through 9, that talks about thanksgiving. And then way toward the end of the letter, in the passage that he deals with the resurrection, again, there's an expression of thanksgiving as it seems to conclude Paul's message of what he was talking about and all that, his focus on thanksgiving to begin with and his thanksgiving to end the letter. It's not a nice letter in many ways. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on in this letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. I mean, they had all kinds of problems, and yet when Paul writes to him, he begins his letter with thanksgiving, and way toward the end, that expression of thanksgiving is there as he deals with the reality of the resurrection in chapter 15. But anyway, if anybody wants to read, can read loudly, you can read chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians 4 through 9 for us. Thank you very much. Okay, now this section starts at verse 4, and we're just going to go through it a bit and just focus on a couple things in there. Yeah, as I said, Paul is writing this. Paul is saying, I, Paul, give thanks to my God always. Okay, first of all, starting, I give thanks to my God. This is where it begins. This is where Thanksgiving begins, with thanking God. That's where we start. We are here because we are people who've been given, and we're therefore thankful. We're thanking God to begin with. And he says, I thank God always for you. In other words, this is an ongoing thing with Paul. And maybe we should say, get it figured out, who's the you in this place? I give thanks for you. He's writing to a church. He's writing to a people in a city, in a location, and to a real church body. He's writing, you might take that you, rather than start with it as an individual you, but as a corporate you, as a body. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the church in Corinth. And he says, I give thanks to you always because of what? Because of the gift or the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. This is where he begins. I give thanks to you. I look at you. I give thanks to you always, because of the grace of God that he's given you in Christ Jesus. The gift that you've received from God in Jesus Christ. This is where Paul starts. And I'm saying this is something that we do too. We should think about as we give thanks. Where we start, where we end with. Thanksgiving continues to go on beyond, but it begins with God. It begins for the gift that God gave us, the indescribable gift that goes beyond any gift that we've ever received. And that is the gift of God in Christ Jesus. That in every way you were enriched in him. You follow that? In every way you were enriched in him. Paul is thankful that you, the church of Jesus Christ, including me, and we have all been enriched because of Christ Jesus. Our lives have changed for the good in every way possible because of Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? Enrichment. You've been made better. You've got beyond anything you can imagine. That gift has enriched you in him, in Jesus Christ, in your speech. You know, so much of our speech is grumbling and complaining and making a fuss about something or making fun of people or talking about people. And yet, as God's people, our speech becomes one of thanksgiving. At least we begin there. If we could be thankful for the person we're upset with, or if we can be thankful for the circumstance we're in, we got a beginning, and it might stop some of the other stuff. So he says, you're dealing with, he says that in every way you were enriched in him, in all your speech, in all your knowledge, how the knowledge you've received and how you deal with it, all this you've been given in Christ Jesus that makes you a different person, that makes you, it gives me reason to be thankful, Paul says, for all this that you've been given. What comes out of your mouth and what's in your head? He says, you've got a head that's filled with blessing rather than cursing. You've got a head that's filled with knowledge of God and knowledge of the good things that God has given us. That's you, the church, the people of God. Enriched in all speech and knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, he's saying that you, the church, You are confirming the testimony that is Christ Jesus. You're by the evidence of what's coming out of your mouth and the way you're living, you're confirming that Christ indeed has been given into your life. He's in your life. So that you are not lacking in any gift. Now, if you go on in here, there's a big issue about gifts, spiritual gifts. And Paul's coming on. He says, you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying the church is not lacking in any gift as you wait for the coming of Jesus Christ returning to us. Now, what's happened in Corinth, there's a big discussion about who's got the best gift, spiritual gift, and who's the greatest. There's a lot of things about who's the greatest preacher. And there's all kinds of stuff that's dividing the church. And Paul is saying, you have all those gifts as his people. They're there. But maybe the issue is that we spend so much time discussing who's got what and who doesn't have what, or what's wrong with this group or what's wrong with that group, that we don't take seriously that the gifts are there, but we've just never been thankful for them and put them into practice, or received the gift of someone who we may think, wow, he don't have anything to stand on. Who's who? We don't have to listen to him. But maybe those gifts are there in ways that we can't even begin to comprehend. He's coming at it. He's saying, don't focus on what's dividing you. Focus on what you've been given and what that means for spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. So that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that means, in my mind, that Christ, they're waiting for the coming of Jesus Christ. And Paul may have been expecting that real soon. It sounds like he was. But we're still waiting and expecting. Jesus is coming, and this is what he's saying, wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus when he comes again. And he says, this will sustain us to the end. Jesus Christ, he's the one who sustains us to the end. We will be guiltless in the day of the Lord Jesus. He's our righteousness. He's our sustainer, our keeper. He's our righteousness. All these things are given to keep us holding fast. And then he says, God is faithful. That too. God doesn't give up. He's going to keep going. He's going to keep on holding on to us all the way along. And he says, again, he's confirming this to the children, to the people. He's explaining it to them that this is who they are. We have a faithful God by whom you were called into the fellowship. And that word fellowship sticks out. Koinonia, the fellowship, the partnership in the gospel that we have within Christ Jesus is an unbelievable thing that we have. The partnership. This is a God-man relationship that we're involved with as we relate together. And Paul experiences that, even when he's in prison, that partnership goes on between he and brothers and sisters, that there's a koinonia, a fellowship in the gospel. And that fellowship is in the Son of God, Jesus Christ our Lord. So this whole thing on Thanksgiving that Paul has here from beginning to end is because of the God's grace to his people, he's thankful. And therefore, we should be thankful because the gifts that we have in Christ Jesus are loaded with all the gifts that we can imagine that we need, and they're there. The grace that God has for us in Jesus Christ has graced us to be able to be gracious with that message that that he's given us. Okay, that's where Paul begins, and then he takes on the whole letter where he deals with divisions in the church, he deals with sexual immorality in the church, he deals with fighting about spiritual gifts, he deals with whether the resurrection took place or it's not going to happen. He deals with numerous issues in the church in Corinth. They had them all. And yet, this is what he begins with, is to say, here's your focus, not all this other stuff. It's a passage of giving the church a clear picture of what it means that we are people who've received the greatest gift that we could imagine. Therefore, he is thankful. And therefore, he's calling us to be thankful. And then, as he ends 1 Corinthians, let's go to the back, chapter 15. And he ends up in a p- passage, a section there, when he, after he's been dealing with the resurrection and what it's all about and the fact that we are people of the resurrection, Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, we too shall be raised from the dead. And then he says, death is swallowed up. This is in chapter 15, 55, 56, 50, yes. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way the path, that's the church in relationship to God's people. That's the church in relationship to the apostle. That's the church in relation to us as we are today. We are people of thanksgiving. If we only take seriously the great, immense, unbelievable gift we've received in Jesus Christ and all the graces that have come from that. It covers the whole gamut of all the stuff we get ourselves into. If we can only at those points stop and say, thank you, Father, for the gift of Christ Jesus. We are not people on our own trying to figure out who's the best or who's the worst or what's this and what's that. We know who we believe in, the gift of Jesus Christ. That's where the victory is. Right, Ron? Praise God. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is indeed a month where we do at least begin to think a little more of Thanksgiving. And we thank you for the day, this day, where we've been able to have a celebrative meal together and doing that. Thank you, Father, for your church. Thank you for the fact that we have received as a gift everything that we have that's of any significance. Help us to take seriously what it means to have received Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our Sustainer, our Keeper, our victory, our righteousness. All the things that are important you have given us, Christ Jesus. And we want to hear these words and we want to be thankful. Help us to do that in the days ahead and the whole year. In Jesus' name, amen.